The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is getting new business from current customers. Our guests for today's show are Don Martin, who is the Vice President and CIO with Armstrong World Industries. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
I can call you Don, right?
Don is perfect.
Beautiful. So is life.
Well, it's a little bit cloudy here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and of course, like just about everybody I know, we're struggling with a fairly significant downturn in our business, and just like in your topic, we're focused on trying to get more business from our existing customers.
Good luck, and we will also talk to Mark Third, who is the Vice President of Information Technology and the CIO with Interstate Battery System of America. Good morning, Murph.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, sir. I learned that you also have a cloudy weather, and do you ever get out to play golf during business hours?
Actually, I'm probably one of very few CIOs that do not play golf.
Okay.
I think everybody else in our company plays golf, but I do not.
That's totally all right. So, hey, the questions that we have are primarily around the area that we all are trying to, of course, acquire new customers, and yes, the cost of acquiring new customers is mighty high. So the premise was, why not we go and, you know, totally mesmerize and engage with our current customers and get them to say, you are the only one that I want to do business with. That's the epitome of loyalty from a customer standpoint. But then if we do try to do this, at some point, it looks like everybody's relationship kind of plateaus. Why is that happening, Don?
Well, I have to believe that the number one reason is human nature, which is we all work so hard to get to that preferred point that once we get there, we feel like whatever it took to get us there is good enough. You know, the status quo becomes acceptable, and it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of focus for a company and for a sales force within a company and departments within a company to continue to have that focus on improvement, and never stop asking your customer what it takes to keep that status.
Or what do you think?
I think it's similar to what Don stated. I think, number one, companies have an unwillingness to change sometimes when they've hit that plateau. And also an unwillingness to think outside of the box in terms of what's best to service that new customer or existing customer. And then I think one of the killers within a company can just be an attitude of, we've always done it this way. You've got to overcome that type of attitude and really think about what's best for that customer or set of customers to service them and grow the business.
Now, one also other angle to look at it is what I've seen sometimes as customers. When you talk to the customers and you say, which vendor is the most, the who serves you best, and why don't you give all of your business to that individual or that particular provider? They say, I've got a bunch of regulars that I go to, and I want to keep going to them so that I make these 20 people or like 4 people compete and play the lending tree game where the vendors compete, you win. And so I want to keep it that way. So would you think that mindset of having an inertia in terms of I'm comfortable with these 5 vendors and I don't want to cut them to 3 is something which is preventing you from doing this? Murph?
Wow. In terms of the number of vendors and cutting them to 3, I think from our standpoint, as a vendor to a customer, we are always trying to find out what we can do for that customer to enhance their business and enhance their experience with our customer. So by staying, by IT staying close to the actual sales force, I think that's what allows us to make sure that we stay as one of the preferred vendors of a, especially one of our large national accounts as a customer.
So what do you do when you hear from a customer that they're going to cut from 5 to 3? Well, that doesn't happen as much, but it has started happening because they're saying, I want to get the economy of scale, give more business to a fewer vendors, and get better breaks out of them. So how do you try to win the race?
Well, we have to try to figure out what the other vendors are offering and try to offer something that's better than that, because a lot of times it comes down to cost. And they just want us to reduce our cost from a wholesale perspective. But you have to look at the other capabilities that you can offer that customer that will be better than reducing costs. And I think that's where we do a very good job with our sales force in identifying those areas so that we can provide IT solutions and technologies that will help that customer choose us as one of the preferred vendors.
So, Don, in your view, would you ever be able to always remain, even whether it's 5, 10, or 3 preferred vendors, by becoming a cost leader, or is that what the philosophy that a company can follow and always remain those top three? And if you think that is the approach, then would IT be able to do much? Because if you're cutting the dollar that you're getting into so many pieces, that how much can IT help? Nobody can help.
I would probably be more philosophically aligned with Merv. You know, IT can help, but, you know, for us and with our customer base, it is what are those services that we can provide either as a company or, you know, leveraging our IT investments and our IT capabilities to help our customers get more business. And they, in turn, then look at us as saying, wow, if I have to down select to 3 or 2, you know, obviously Armstrong is a company that I want to have in my mix, because they're not only helping me reduce my costs, they're helping me generate more revenue.
And when we actually look at building better relationships or doing anything like, so then we talk about account management and marketing and sales. Those are the business functions that we look up to and say, you're the front runners, why don't you go ahead and show the magic? Now, is that what the person is representing a company? Is that what the customer is buying? What are we doing in terms of fortifying them, giving them the weapons, required weapons, for them to be able to do a better job? Merv, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I agree that, you know, sales, they are the front line to whether it's an existing customer or a potentially new customer. IT and other support functions within a company can both support and enhance that sales effort in providing new capabilities to increase sales. I mean, some of the things that we've done here is provided different web-based tools and collaboration tools to help our sales force. But we've also offered programs that can offer different ways of selling our products within Interstate Batteries. For instance, a couple of years ago, we created a fundraising program that would basically offer 4 different ways that we can offer products to a completely different set of customers and help them grow their fundraising efforts within that community.
Don?
You know, one of my favorite examples that I use for the right mindset for any corporate function is the Home Depot. You know, they call their corporate headquarters the store support center. And that's really, I think, the way for all of us to think about, you know, our companies. You know, the corporate headquarters is the sales support center. And so IT working with, you know, various people in the business units, putting together multifunctional teams with a focus of helping our customers and our sales force in the field with tools, capabilities, and analysis is the right way to approach this. And this is something that, you know, I would say if I look at Armstrong in the last 2 to 3 years, we have really worked hard at engaging the rest of our company, and especially IT, to work with our sales force and customers more closely so that we can help identify solutions for them, not just you know, within the company. It's this outward focus that you have to take in order to create that differentiation in the marketplace.
So if you're given a choice, would you not want to have you or your lieutenants within IT to actually go along with the sales/marketing frontline folks and listen to the people, the customers, firsthand to know what they're looking, because you can see some of the things getting lost in the translation when they come back with ideas. You do not necessarily know if they are truly aligned, or in your view, it would have been a different flavor of the strategy that you should help implement using IT.
Absolutely. That firsthand involvement, not only of being there to listen, but to, you know, bring the knowledge of, you know, the technologies that are available to color what might not have been thought to be possible. So firsthand involvement is key.
But do we have our business processes and the time allocation and the task allocation in place in such a way that IT does go along with the frontline folks on a regular basis?
You know, I can't say, you know, we speaking for us as an industry, but I certainly have been, I have been working to develop that capability and that culture here.
Mark, what do you think? What is needed if there's a gap to make this happen on a regular basis?
I think in several corporations there probably are gaps, but it comes down to really IT staying close with their sales force and all the different business functions. And it's like Don stated, you got to be at the very beginning with the sales force to gather those requirements and understand them. Just in the event that to grow their business, if there's a technology solution, then we can hear that from the very beginning and be prepared to be proactive rather than reactive.
So you're saying that you would take a solution there already ready to go, and you can, you know, wow them.
Whether it's a new solution or an old solution that we can enhance, it is critical that IT and sales work hand in hand to try to assist the sales effort. And I think in our case, especially in our national account business, IT has been a key in doing that. And one of the things that's really been effective is being in at the very beginning. When that is especially a new customer as a lead, then we can figure out what they might require that the competition hasn't been able to provide. And we can do that from a technology perspective.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and see if there was a crystal ball available for all of us to be able to see what's on customers' mind, what do they want, what do they want different, and what do they want more, so that we can better prepare us and our organization. And then how can IT help in building this crystal ball? Easier said than done. A lot of different constituents will have to get involved in it, but is that a conscious effort in your organization if that is to be put into reality? So let's talk more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So if you're talking about that crystal ball, if that was available, then we'd be able to see what the customer wants more or what new things the customer wants. And, of course, one of the ways IT could have helped is to provide some tools and utilities to be able to, massage or slice and dice some empirical data that you have and also come up with some forecasting models. Some of the stuff is out there. Now, is whatever is available actually helping? Don.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I thought about this question, you know, my first reaction is that crystal ball actually exists. And it gets back to the fact if you can get your IT people working with your sales and marketing people in the field with your customers, the problems become more apparent and the solutions may already exist. So, again, to me, the imperative for us as an industry is to have that engagement with the sales and marketing people in the field so that crystal ball becomes very clear and you can begin delivering value.
Marv?
Yeah, I would agree. And then I think one of the tools along with that is our analytical capabilities to be able to use data that we are gathering, just like a manufacturing company, as real-time as possible to be able to show the sales force what is actually happening within that customer's business. You know, are they growing? Are they shrinking? What do they need? How do we need to adjust? And that analytical data, that whether it's a dashboard or data mining, can really provide the sales force with some extra tools to enhance that customer's business.
So when we talk about crystal ball and you look at just empirical data, is that enough for you to forecast? Do you think the world does remain and in the same, it just moves in the same linear fashion that you can extrapolate something that easy?
I don't think it's just one thing. It's not just what they have done in the past or what they're doing currently, but you got to look at a lot of different things within their business, whether it's the current economic situation or whether it's a situation within their business, a change of management that's requiring a new look at how they're doing business. We have to be on top of their changes just as much as we are on top of our business to be able to enhance our sales to that company.
I want to use this buzzword or the latest thing that we are all used to, innovation. So, if we use innovation, would that not be a better way to wow our customers, Don?
You know, for me, you know, one of the greatest tools of innovation, I've made some study of the science of it, it really involves forming something called external networks, which means, you know, you engage with people that you wouldn't normally or usually engage with and then extrapolate from that something that's relevant to your situation. And so, innovation is actually what I've just been describing to you that happens when you get IT people who don't normally associate with sales and marketing people who don't, you know, who also don't normally associate with our customers, applying something and creating something that none of them saw individually. And I mean, I absolutely believe that this is one of the key things that actually happens when we form, you know, these external networks, again, between functions that don't normally engage one another.
Now, it would be a very good problem to have, that we have customers doling out more and more orders. But then there are many cases when we are not ready, and that is where the ability to deliver timely in terms of quality and at the right price is also jeopardized. So what are we doing as IT leaders, along with other business unit leaders, to proactively not have this happen? Mark.
I think a lot of it is we have to stay on top of our forecasting capabilities to be able to make sure as a certain area of the business is growing that we can keep up with it from a capacity standpoint. But then while other areas of another line of business might be shrinking, try to analyze that and figure out what is affecting that line of business and to be able to grow it. So we have to constantly be on the proactive side and in trying to predict what we need to do. And a lot of that might be using existing solutions, but a lot of it also might be developing new solutions for different lines of business and different areas of sales.
John?
You know, this is one area that I think is, again, reaching another potential step change, you know, with the advent of some of the new technology solutions, whether it's with, the global networks or the service-oriented architectures. Anybody that's ever tried to do multi-level supply chain management knows, you know, some of the inherent issues that get created in a supply chain in terms of demand and forecasting ability. And with these new technologies, we certainly have an opportunity to take this to a whole new level, both in terms of managing a complexity across multiple levels, as well as giving that capability to companies that heretofore couldn't afford it or didn't even understand it. So this is one area, you know, in an industry like mine that's somewhat, I'll say, older and less technologically sophisticated, you know, there's opportunity here.
Now, if you really had a wish list with respect to demand and capacity management or shaping or planning, what would that be? Could you inventory some of those areas which are kind of chronic in nature that have not been solved even with the utilization of technology, and you hope that technology someday will allow you to help do that, and also your business will understand and collaborate with you to actually make it happen? John?
You know, I think the world just proved it. Despite all of the signals that were out in, you know, the global economic world there, if you will, you know, how many people really saw, you know, the massive shift in demand? And yet, you know, now looking back, they're all, you know, quote-unquote very visible, but somehow, you know, none of us saw it coming. So there is this, you know, instrumentation, if you will, of the global economy that I think needs a massive tune-up from what we've just experienced.
So, Marv, would you have a list of things that you would love to see be put in place or just somehow are implemented so that you have better control over capacity and demand planning? And what kind of collaboration that you expect from your counterparts?
Well, I think from a capacity planning standpoint, we're trying to move more towards as much real-time information as possible. And we actually, we're finishing our fiscal year this year, and we've had a really good year, even with the economy the way it is. But we're in an aftermarket business, and people are keeping their devices, their cars, longer. So that actually enhances our efforts. But on the other hand, from an IT perspective, we have to make sure that we have the capacity and the technology to handle that increase in business. For instance, we're looking at double-digit growth in our e-commerce business. So in having that as a strategy, we went ahead and re-architected and redeveloped our entire e-commerce site the end of last calendar year in preparation for that. And there's a lot of those types of efforts going on within our company, same way with our retail business in trying to develop and prepare a new point-of-sale set of systems for their growth.
So given the so super dynamic nature of the business today and the economy, could you really plan demand? You can maybe plan capacity, but it's tough for anyone to say that I can plan demand. Maybe you can shape it, right?
Yeah, that's probably true. But on the other hand, sometimes you have to go out there and try to look at areas to increase that demand. And whether that is through marketing efforts or through a combination of different efforts from the entire enterprise, sometimes you have to try to create that that demand. And it's even tougher in our current economic situation.
So, Don, question for you. If you were given the choice and allow you to wear the marketing hat with your all the knowledge of technology and what technology can do, what you could have contributed in terms of ideas or strategies which will allow to increase the demand?
For us, it is integrating more effectively with our distributor and retail partners, both in terms of making sure that our lead generation is as effective and efficient and wide in that as possible, as well as, you know, providing them, you know, the things, either be they marketing programs, customer insights, helping customers recognize the value in the products that they carry that we manufacture that help them, you know, win in the marketplace by taking share from competitors.
So if we are trying to serve the customer, how well are we serving them today? What is your thermometer? Where is your thermometer, and what is that? How has that been made available by IT? Don?
For us, there's a number of thermometers. Some of them IT related, some of them not. But obviously, you know, one of the ones that we focus on a lot is just the ability to draw hits, if you will, to the website. You know, at least in most consumer product categories, you know, I'll say, you know, 80% of the buying public starts, you know, their search for a product on the internet today. So getting them to come to our website is a key measure of the success not only of our sales efforts but all of our marketing efforts.
So you've put in systems and you've contributed in a number of ways. Are there some areas where the customer service, which was supposed to be at the highest level at all times for you to retain those customers, even get them to pay you more or buy more from you, do you have a somewhat, say, a one-year, two-year plan? These are the number of things that we'll have a phased release for, and that will keep wowing our customer even more and more?
Yes. Yeah, we have actually a three-year strategy, and a lot of what it involves is, you know, again, the innovation that we do, you know, internally focused, as well as innovation where we actually have, you know, innovation sessions, if you will, with our customers to try and identify those things that we can do for them that will help drive their business.
And in your case, Merv, how are things any different? Because your people may not be, they're it's like a B2C business, like, would you say?
We have B2B and B2C, both. And in our what we call our legacy business, but in our wholesale distribution business, it's definitely B2B because we sell to over 200,000 dealers. And we just want to stay on top of that as much as possible. On the B2C side, where we have retail stores and franchises, that is, again, an area that we're trying to constantly enhance to bring more customers in the door. And the more customers we can bring in and the better experience that we can give them, because our retail stores are small specialty stores, so it's all service. And we want to make sure that we can provide the service that they need when they come in so that they have they're a repeat customer.
No, that is like almost touching the new client acquisition and then, of course, serving them. On the B2B side, what is the magic that has been put in place so that they do not keep battery of your competitor on the shelf?
My competitor? It's going to depend on the individual customer, that individual dealer, in terms of what they require. An automotive battery sale occurs for a customer probably once every 4 to 6 years. So when their battery goes dead, you want to make sure that we forward them to a dealer that has their battery, and that's where our website comes in, similar to Don's. We want to reference them to the right place, and then we want to make sure that that dealer has the depth of the number of batteries in there so that when the customer comes in, they have it, and they can service them right away. So there's a number of different efforts that we go to make sure that we have the proper inventory, not only in our 300 distributorships, but in those 200,000 dealers so that they can service the end customer properly.
Is there anything else left which you feel should be put in place in coming days which will further help you get to the next level of customer service and keep your existing customers and have them even buy more from you?
I think we're going to be utilizing our mobile technology and online technology much more than we have in the past. I mean, we've had an online presence for a long time, but we're even moving more of our advertising to online, so that we can enhance the dealer's experience and also the end customer's experience when they go into that dealership.
So, when we talk about the relationships that we create, and we know that people buy from other people, who should be in front of those customers and how they are handling them and what is the response and where the person gets ticked off versus someone comes and hugs you as a vendor that I'll keep coming back to you? What type of mechanisms, besides a CRM system, which again is in control of that salesperson, and whatever they put in is what you will see, but they could very well not be putting in the things which they did wrong. Do you have a probe of sorts that you could put in place which will help you take a live recording of what happened and then do better at it next time? Don?
You know, we had some recent pilots, if you will, with Click to Call, which is a capability when someone is on the website and they want to talk to a retailer. You know, they click on the click to call, and the call is automatically routed to a retailer that's appropriate for their location. Part of that capability is it records the call, and we were able to take those call recordings and then share them with the presidents of these businesses, and it was a fairly eye-opening experience for them in that they began to realize how unprepared their businesses were to deal effectively with customers either wanting an unusual product or even handling the customer in an appropriate way. And so there's a lot of what was once considered sophisticated capabilities that are now, if you will, one click away to any small business or medium-sized business that can help them fundamentally change their game.
Merv, what is that you would have done or what you think you're doing or other counterparts of yours should be doing with respect to tracking and measuring what things are going wrong or right at a transaction level where you don't have the obvious ways of CRM systems in place?
I think we're doing a couple of different things. In dealing with our dealer base that's out there, it's the handheld technology that each one of our route sales managers have in terms of recording issues or problems that might be at that particular dealer, or if there's a competitive threat, to be able to feed that information back into an analytical system that we do today. I think when it comes to our online presence, we are trying to do a number of different things to offer that customer a chance to voice their concern, or if they have a question about a product, we offer them the chance to talk to a live person. We do an online chat if they'd rather do it that way, or they can just send us an email if they have a question, and then we have SLAs in terms of responding back to those emails. And then, but one of the things that I think that's, I guess, the most important is just that whether it's over the phone or whether it's face-to-face, that contact with our customer, whether it's the dealer or the end customer, is critical in terms of resolving a problem or enhancing their experience so that they come back and want to do business with us again.
Now, would you embark upon social media and this new approach to collaboration with the end customer in your enterprise, or somehow integrate that into your system so that when somebody is making a negative remark, and frankly, if I were to buy some tiles or I were to buy a battery, I will definitely go online and check what are the impressions that other people are getting when they got it installed. That's the way people are researching today. So is that something on the roadmap, or you feel for companies like yours or other set of people, how are they introducing such ways into actually making sure that the customers are being heard and somebody's watching too? Don?
Absolutely. I mean, it's certainly something that's on the roadmap. It's some things that we've had some initial pilots with. You know, obviously one of the big concerns that people have is, you know, what about, you know, negative feedback? And yet, you know, for any of us in our personal experience, I think we recognize that it's that negative feedback that gives the credibility of the rest of the positive feedback. So it's something that's definitely in our future. We know that from trends and from how it's evolving that it's clearly something that you know, whether it's consumers or businesses, it's part of the way they shop. So it's something that we have to monitor, something that we have to offer, and be, you know, be proactive in implementing.
Merv, what's your plan?
Actually, one of the things we've done on our website is to basically offer a customer response on most of our products that are out there, so that they can actually see and read the comments that somebody has made about a particular battery. Because to some people, they don't go out to maybe Consumer Reports or this or that, but we can actually say, hey, this has been a past customer's experience about buying on our website and buying this particular product, so they can read it right there.
So given where you are in your respective you know, positions in the industry, the customers that you have, they of course see you as some one of the leaders in the, you know, and since they are using your product, but they're always not totally having a blind faith on any vendor. So there is some healthy skepticism there. What is that level of vigil that you are providing from your standpoint, and you literally have those probes out there that any negative remark or any negative customer service experience which has got a chance to jeopardize your vendorship with that customer can be proactively handled or eliminated in the first place? Don?
Well, obviously we're doing some of the basic stuff in terms of, you know, having the spiders crawl the web and monitor, you know, certain websites, certain blogs, which I'll say is rudimentary. You know, I'm certainly seeing a trend where this type of capability is becoming more ubiquitous and more available. In terms of providing alerts and helping you at least recognize that your name or your brand has been mentioned. Beyond that, you know, I think there's ideas of that we could implement, whether it's you know, increasing the collaborative technology that we put in place with our retailers and vendors to make sure that we're getting that direct market feedback as quickly and as visibly as possible. To taking advantage of some of the new social media, whether it's you know, Facebook or Twitter, that allows you to get the quick responsiveness to what's going on in the marketplace that you don't have today.
So, Merv, do you have any thoughts?
Well, what I just mentioned about some of the online tools that we have that gives us information on customer feedback. But we also do different types of surveys, whether they're online and immediate from e-commerce, or we send surveys out to our dealer base. But we also have individual feedback that comes back from our dealer network. and that's through our route sales managers, or we, again, do surveys from them. But we have a number of different ways that that we try to get feedback from, whether it's a B2B customer or a B2C customer.
See, there was one thing which I read in an article that usually in order for us to get a candid feedback from our customer, we got to talk to them live. If we have them fill up an anonymous survey, they end up not telling 100% of the truth, which they may have. You know, they may have otherwise shared. So is part of your customer service, is there any strategy to introduce the live recordings of sorts with these people, which has been implemented or it's in the plan? And not necessarily, do you think that would be a good idea, or is it too expensive a style of getting feedback from the customer? Don?
In our case, we do it, I guess, on an audit basis, just because of what you mentioned, you know, the expense. So we try to get enough random samples to have a handle on it, but it is an expensive proposition.
Okay. Now, we have always looked at competitors and said, wow, if I knew what's their next move, and what's the new thing that they're going to be doing, we would always be ahead of them. And we can then innovate better, and we can do things differently. So, Merv, I know it's a difficult question to answer, but then is there a way, or are different, with a mix of technologies or mix of strategies, have we got arms around this competitive intelligence gathering?
Probably a quick answer would be probably not as good as we want, but then we're always looking for new ways to enhance capabilities. In this particular situation, you know, forming a database of competitive information is necessary, but it's different ways of populating that database, whether it's feet on the street feeding us the information, or whether we try to get that intelligence through different outside agencies, which is, I think, a little bit more difficult, at least for us.
So what does exactly ask for when somebody says, I want information about my competition? What all are they looking for, which is making it that tough for us to not be able to put the probes out there and not be able to get it? Typically, what's the requirement or what's the request that comes from the upper management or from your business unit leader counterparts?
For us, it's, you know, just regional insights as to how we're doing relative to competition. That's just not something that's readily available for us. Like I say, depending on the nature of your industry, that's something that could be readily available, and then it becomes IT's job to help the business most effectively assimilate it, organize it, and manage it. In businesses like ours, it's just not available. And so we all kind of get frustrated and wish we could do better.
So you're saying basically that they would ask for that data which would be otherwise hidden, that data is not public domain, so a customer will not tell you how well are you doing with respect to your customer or with your other, you know, fellow vendor?
Exactly. You know, where are you winning in the marketplace? Where are you losing? How are you doing in, you know, the Los Angeles metro against your top five competitors? You know, it's a fairly fragmented, secret information, and others, it's just not available in a form that could be usable to us.
Now, there's a tendency for us to get more from our existing customers by trying to upsell and cross-sell. And you can provide data with respect to that on that dashboard that you offer to your sales folks if they're selling online or over a phone. Is that truly the best strategy to be able to get more from them, because they feel like they're being sold? Murph?
Well, I think, you know, the dashboards can definitely enhance that capability, but you have to listen to those customers, especially our B2B customers, and find out, you know, what they actually need to increase the sales within their business. And from our perspective, it might be a unique solution just for that B2B customer. Which given the volume, will be well worth the development of that technology. In other situations, we try to develop more of a wide-range approach for a set of dealers or set of B2B customers that are similar.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And let's look at the weakest link issue that could creep into our organization, where while we are trying to serve our customer, impress them so that they give us more or new business, but then one portion of the organization may be more equipped to handle or be able to follow that strategy versus another. So is there a way by which IT brings the whole organization together, gets probes in all those different departments and see which one is not doing right, and then be able to help at least inform that, guys, you are not up to speed on this, and our customer service or the impression that we are creating on our customer is not going to be up to the mark just because of you, so you got to get your act together. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss how is that at all possible.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we are trying to handle the customer as it is its stuff, and then if you find out that one of the business units or one of the departments in our company is turning out to be weakest link, which is preventing us from creating that wow effect in front of our customer, then where is IT contributing towards proactively providing a diagnostic and then later on helping them come up to speed? Murph?
One of the things we do within IT here, since we have several business segments, is we assign an account manager or a project manager to each one of those areas. And they have multiple areas of responsibility under each project manager. But they try to stay as close as they can to the different levels of management within each functional area. So that if there are several that are doing well, that's fine. But if there's some that are struggling or they need help in a certain area, we try to find out what we can do to help them. Sometimes it's not a technology solution, but more of a process issue. But we can help in that area also.
But what's the diagnostic tool or a set of tools that you think you can offer as IT so that, you know, we are not finding out after the fact?
Sometimes I don't think it's just a tool that you can just buy off the shelf. Sometimes I think it's just the business knowledge that these people have, in our case, our account managers or project managers, that can assist the business in resolving a particular issue or process. It's just not a magic wand or a magic piece of software that you can buy.
So, Don, do you have something?
No magic here. I certainly have seen certain companies use very effectively the drill down database that looks at key results by department, by function, by business unit, and that's certainly a helpful diagnostic tool that IT can provide, which I'm constantly amazed by a lot of companies don't have something as rudimentary as that.
again, I would find myself more in alignment with Merv. There's management processes and capabilities organizationally that the IT department can bring in terms of helping both identify the weak links as well as assisting the weak links to move along. So, for example, in my organization, we have this group we call the Business Relationship Managers, and we have them organized functionally, but they serve across business units, which allows them to be, you know, the seed that carries good ideas from one business unit to another if it's applicable, and then, you know, works with them if it's an IT solution to get that IT solution in place. Or it can be as simple as having a meeting with that business unit leader saying, look, did you know so-and-so unit is doing this, and that's a capability that might work for you.
Now, while you're trying to come up with strategies to deal with different customers, but there has to be different strokes for different folks, how do you make that happen? You cannot have one strategy fit all, Don?
Well, that's for sure. And, in fact, anybody that's ever tried to do that usually fails pretty quickly. It is important, you know, in the development of the people that are serving in those roles, whether that it's working with the business unit to create an IT strategy that aligns with them or bringing ideas to them that help them, you know, change their strategy, they have to be able to understand how that business works. They need to understand the context of that business, and those ideas need to be credible and again, well-placed. And if that doesn't happen, you know, your organization loses credibility. And again, if you just try to apply the same hander to every problem, you're not effective, and the business unit will look at you and saying, look, you know what, IT just doesn't get it.
So you're saying you're kind of segmenting your customers?
Yes. There's two ways I'm thinking of customers. Obviously, you know, from an IT organization, I look at my customers as being the business units. But then beyond that, you know, IT is working with our businesses to help us more effectively segment the customers that we serve based upon giving them analytical analysis based on, you know, trends that we're seeing across the website to be able to segment that website more effectively so that we're serving those segments of customers with better information, better tools, better insights for their particular needs.
So, Merv, what have you done in terms of handling different strategies or segmenting customers well so that you can have very targeted solutions or strategies?
Well, from the first part, in terms of what Don was saying, I totally agree. It is absolutely key that our IT people stay in a very close relationship with all of our different business functions, whether it's a back office function or whether it's one of the P&L business units. But that is an absolute must, and that's at every level of the IT organization so that we can share information back and forth. When it comes to segmenting our customer base, whether it's a B2B or B2C, we are constantly trying to improve that effort. And we're never satisfied, which is a good thing, because we always want to try to improve our intelligence however we can. But in our customer base, especially from a B2B perspective, it's trying to segment them by type of business, because whether we're selling to a marine type of dealer or whether it's an automotive parts store or a lawn and garden type of shop, we want to make sure that we're applying the proper IT solution that the business needs, not just throwing out, hey, here's the latest and greatest technology. We have to understand the business need and our customers' needs in order to apply the proper technology.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much, Don and Merv, for sharing your thoughts about how an organization can actually get new or more business from the current customers.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Now, in these times, it will indeed be tough, if not impossible, to acquire new customers. And the key is going to be to further our relationships with these current customers and become even more valuable to them, which hopefully will result in new and more business and a new type of business and more business of the same type. So This can be accomplished via better coordination among all the customer touch points, which are different departments that are within the organization, and help them see what the customer is saying at any given time and how they can get better at what they do. Now, IT leadership has to, of course, go beyond just providing technology assistance. They have to listen to the customers firsthand, help segment the customer strategies properly, and then provide the required technology assistance to make things happen. What are you doing to get more or new business from your current customers? Please let us know your thoughts. Views at CIOTalkRadio.com. That is views@CIOTalkRadio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.